Good morning and happy Christmas to any of you who I don't get the opportunity to wish happy Christmas to tomorrow morning at 10:30. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground, and they pioneered the world's first powered flight. Now, as you can imagine, they were thrilled, and they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine was so excited that she hurried to the editor of the local newspaper in their small town and showed him their message. And he glanced at it and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." Life, as they say, is full of misunderstandings. And I think perhaps the biggest confusion at this time of year is actually about Christmas. Being the fallible creatures that we are, it's often easy to misinterpret things, as did that newspaper editor, or else to see things in the wrong light. And it's certainly been my experience when talking to those who are not all that familiar with the Christian faith, that a greater part of my time is actually spent taken up not so much defending Christianity against heavy intellectual arguments, but correcting faulty ideas about what at heart Christianity is all about and how good God is. And Christmas itself can be viewed in so many different ways, can't it? And through the eyes of many young children, it is when Santa Claus hopefully brings the toys they want, but often doesn't. Remember the child who went into the department store and sat on Santa's lap and said, "Are you a politician?" And Santa said, "No, why?" He said, "Because you promise so much and deliver so little." Parents often experience Christmas not as an enjoyable, relaxing family time, but as a time of shopping, stress, and debt. For retail employees, the Christmas season brings long hours and frayed tempers. For others, the fact that Christmas should be a special family time brings bittersweet memories as they're conscious of an empty space at their table and they remember the absence of a loved one. But what is Christmas to God's people? To Christians, to our church family. Well, one thing I think is this. I believe this season highlights our value to our loving and gracious Heavenly Father. If you just take this moment and think about your worth, if you will. Because as we wander through the shops this season, you will see price tags on display showing the assigned value of each of their items that are labelled. Some prices are inexpensive. Others are costly. They vary according to the value and the importance of what's being sold. Now, as wise shoppers, I'm sure you all are, you're probably usually pretty careful never to pay more than what an item is worth. We compare shop prices, don't we, until we're certain we will get our money's worth. Everything has got some sort of value, and the value is determined by the eye of the purchaser. We would never pay more than what something was worth to us. When a piece of David Beckham's football kit was auctioned on eBay a few years ago, it started off at £99.99. It eventually sold for thousands of pounds. Personally, I would never have paid that amount. To begin with, I don't have that much money to throw around. But secondly, and most important, it doesn't mean that much to me. To the person who made the purchase, the value of David Beckham's shirt was obviously huge. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have bought it. So can we find our true value? Through our society, perhaps? Well, sadly, no. The value of a human life varies tremendously, even within Britain itself. Millions of children are being killed today before they are born because their lives are inconveniences to their parents. They are considered better dead than alive, and others are paid to sweep their tiny lives away. And yet these parents are acting in accordance with the politicians and the voters who have enacted laws that do not value life. Husbands and wives abandon their spouse and their children, forsaking the very relationships they had vowed to nourish and protect. They no longer value these relationships as worth fighting for because they're afraid they might cost too much time and effort to repair. And so consequently, they place their comfort and their pleasure above those of their loved ones. Broken homes produce millions of wounded and frightened people who seriously doubt their value. The scenarios vary, don't they? We've heard recently of powerful politicians and Hollywood celebrities who take advantage of their status to abuse or sexually harass vulnerable women, valuing them not as people, but as objects of lust or pleasure. Then there are doctors willing to assist people in suicide for a fee, and greedy businessmen who take advantage of destitute households by hiking up the rents on their accommodation. The list just goes on and on. But what about God? How does he value us? And as our creator, he actually alone determines our true value. We aren't actually the ones who establish the real measure of worth in this universe. It's God. And the Bible tells us a very disconcerting truth in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, where it quotes Jesus as saying this: that what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. That makes us feel strangely uncomfortable. You see, it's really a question of having an overall perspective. Jesus once asked the question, what does it profit a person if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a person give in exchange for their soul? Consider for a moment all the wealth that there is in this world. Imagine, if you will, not one, but all of the multi-million pound mansions across this planet. All the gold bullion that there is in global bank vaults. Add to that every gemstone and every ounce of precious metal. Include in the sum the total of all the fine cars, boats, planes, state-of-the-art electronics, just to mention some of the nicer items. So much treasure exists on this planet that is almost unimaginable. This world's assets generate an annual gross world product of approximately 18 trillion pounds. That is a lot of wealth. And countless numbers of people have stolen, killed, lied, cheated, and gambled for a fraction of that wealth. And yet Jesus tells us that a person who exchanges themselves for all this world offers has made an unprofitable deal. I was walking in London some years ago, just near that plush new skyscraper that everyone calls the Gherkin, if you know it. And on the pavement at the front of that building was a homeless man. His jeans were filthy. They were full of holes. His hair, his beard were scraggly and covered with grime. But on that occasion, I sensed the voice of the Holy Spirit saying to me, Tony, do you know that man is worth more to me than this multi-million pound building? Now, it's a truth I was aware of mentally, but it hit home with much greater impact at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Through this man, God was attempting to change my perspective of each individual's importance in his eyes. And if our true value is worth more than all the wealth of this world, then what accurately reflects our value? Well, Christmas is the revelation of our true worth. The verse you all know, the Bible, says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Through the very first sin of Adam, we were brought into spiritual slavery by the devil. Through Adam's disobedience, Satan could lay claim to us, and he's refused to give us up. We were destined for eternal darkness. We were powerless to liberate ourselves from the clutches of sin. And the only way we could be free was for God to be willing to purchase us back. Our sin was so intractable so far-reaching that we couldn't be ransomed by any of the wealth that this world possesses. So in answer to our hopelessness, God gave of himself his only Son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for us. God tells us even way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 49, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for our life is costly. No payment is ever enough. Our souls are worth so much that our freedom could only be purchased by Jesus himself. And the Apostle Paul underlines this. I haven't got that one on the screen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, God bought you with a high price. God bought you with a high price. Let me tell you a true story. There was a jeweler some years ago who was traveling the South Sea Islands in search of fine pearls. And he was told by one islander that the largest pearl that he would ever see was owned by a man living in a particular village on a particular island. And so the jeweler eagerly made his way to this island village, seeking out the man who was worth so much. Well, eventually he found him. And much to the jeweler's surprise, he discovered him living in a run-down shack, not much more than a hovel. And the jeweler asked about this pearl. And sitting down on the ground around a rough table, the man brought out a bag tied to his waist. And from it he extracted the largest and the most beautiful pearl that this jeweler had ever seen. Immediately the jeweler offered him a phenomenal price for this pearl. But the man refused. He said, no way. So the jeweler upped his offer even more. Still, it was refused. And then the man told his story as to why. He said, all my life I have been a pearl diver. He said, I taught my only son to dive. Every Saturday we'd go in my boat early in the morning to search for pearls. One day we found nothing, and in the evening we were returning somewhat disheartened, when my son asked to dive one more time. I agreed. I watched him fill his lungs with air and dive down deep. The bubbles ascended, and I waited. Suddenly I realized he was too long under the water. I worried and I dived in after him to see what was wrong. On the ocean bed, my son was entangled in the reeds, and he was struggling to get free. I tried to help, and it seemed a long time before he was freed. I dragged him up into the boat, but both his lungs were filled with water. There was nothing I could do to save my son. Broken-hearted, he said, I slowly rowed my boat back to the shore. It was then that I noticed his hand was clasped. And as I looked, in it was this pearl. My son, he said, gave his life for this pearl. So there is no way I am ever going to part with it. Now, in a similar way, the Christ of the crib was born to die on that cross, to rescue us from all the entanglement of human sin, which entraps us, and from the moral mess we've made of our lives. Hanging on that cross, he was carrying on his shoulders all the wrong thinking, all the wrong speaking, all the wrong doing, which separates you and me from a holy God and would send us to hell forever. He paid the price, stepping in to take the divine punishment in our place so we might be forgiven and receive new life, a fresh start. Now do you see who is the one so precious that he dived into this world to rescue? And it cost him his life. For people like us, your name was written on his heart as he hung there for you. The Apostle Peter sums it up like this, that those who put their trust in Jesus Christ as their loving ruler and rescuer have been bought not with perishable things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. The human blood which began pulsating in that tiny fetus in his mother's womb was to be poured out on that wooden cross to put us back in touch with God. That is absolutely fantastic, isn't it? There is no person or thing God values in this world more than Jesus. And yet God valued us enough to send his most beloved son. If God didn't highly value you, he would never have given the life of Jesus in exchange for yours. Now here's the amazing reality of what he did. Allow me to put it in financial terms to make it easier to understand. If we were worth 50p less to God than the value of Jesus, then he would never have given him for us. God is wise, and he would never make such an unprofitable purchase. An unprofitable purchase occurs when something of great value is given for something of less value. So in God's eyes, you are just as precious to him as his one and only son. He sees you as being equal in value. Have I got a scripture to back that up? Yes. Jesus himself affirmed exactly this when he prayed just before his death, "Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me." Wow. Do you see how important you are to God? Can you glimpse the greatness of his love for you? Christmas declares your true value to the Lord God. Some people might say, well, yes, okay, God did all that. He did that for all of mankind. But who am I among so many? In answer to that question, I believe if you were the only one, he would still have paid the same price for you. Jesus told a parable that reinforces our individual importance and worth to God. He said, if you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 to go and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrived, you'd call together your friends and your neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Do you see the value God places on just one individual? Do you see the value that God places on you? If you were the only one lost who needed to be ransomed, he'd still have come for you. Why would God feel this way towards us? What have we done to deserve such love? The amazing truth is we've done nothing. Nothing we could do comes close to meriting his love. For when we were lost, decrepit sinners and even enemies, he sent his son to die for us. He saw in us what only his love could see. He saw treasures in the midst of corruption and sin and depravity. He viewed as precious what many would have considered worthless or of very little value. He looked beyond our present state and he saw what only his grace could produce. And if this is the case, then this really is the greatest story ever told. Because it's the story of the King of Kings coming to earth to meet mankind and rescue us. That's what John is saying in that gospel reading, which is always famously read at Christmas time. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God has come to our world as a human being to die on a cross for us. The words of a lovely carol put it like this: "Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man, stooping so low, but sinners raising heavenwards by thine eternal plan." Which means, quite simply, there is hope for our world. And there is hope for you. and it's in the form of a person. And if you haven't given your life to him, asking for forgiveness and a fresh start, then isn't it time you did? You see, what Christmas asks of us is to respond to that love by faith. The initiative is God's, but the response has to be yours. And Christmas time is a wonderful time to do that. Because at the heart of Christmas is a moment of choice. Either to rely on human nature at its best, which is how the world portrays Christmas, or to come with outstretched arms and receive his offer of saving love. And if you've never done it before, why not today ask him to make you a royal son or daughter of God? The Christmas story contains these words from Luke's Gospel. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They went and they found Jesus Christ for themselves. My prayer is that all of us here today will be like those shepherds and find him too for ourselves this Christmas. Amen. Let's just have a moment of quiet reflection before we sing our next hymn. Let's stand and sing that hymn, number 700 if you're using the books. Thou who wast rich, beyond all space.